Lord, we come before you, knowing, O God, that apart from you, we cannot do anything. And so we open our hearts. We open our minds. We ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we may see your hand upon us, O God, in everything that happens in our lives. For truly, O God, you are in control of everything that happens in our life. You are in charge of the seasons and times of our lives. And we commit ourselves to you. And we commit our lives to you, knowing, God, that you are worthy to be trusted with our lives. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. And we ask for your wisdom to be in our hearts and to be in our minds. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we have been studying the book of Ecclesiastes for the past few weeks. And we have seen how Solomon has gone from searching for the meaning of life through wisdom, pleasure, and work. But one thing we can find out, Solomon did not find meaning, satisfaction, or happiness in life through all those things. Now the question is, where does he go now? Or where does he turn now? For the first time in our study today, Solomon now gives a full-scale solution to the meaninglessness of life. His solution is the sovereign providence of God. The answer to the questions in life is God's providence. He's actually saying that the only solution to the meaninglessness of life is to accept that there is a sovereign, divine, providential ordering of things that supplies life, or that supplies everything that happens in this life with meaning. And apart from that ordered, divine plan, there is no hope in life. You know, have you wondered, at least once in your life, have you wondered why things happen the way they are? You know, we heard a lot of times that things happen for a reason. Sometimes we do not even know the reason, or we don't even understand the reason for the way things are happening in our lives. But there's one thing we know. God is in charge, whether we believe it or not. And I believe that's a fact of the matter. God is in control. God is in charge. You know, if there's one thing you can think about facts, is this. Facts are fact whether you like it or not. You can ignore them, you can debate them, you can disprove them, you can laugh at them, you can scream at them, or even pass law against them if you want to. But facts will not change. What you cannot do about facts is you cannot change them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
President Jan Adams once said, "Facts are stalwart things. Facts are wonderfully confident and self-possessed. They really don't care what you think about them." And this brings us to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which is, I believe, the most obvious, familiar, and least understood text in the scripture. And in verse 1, it says that there is someone there, up there, who is in control of the times and seasons of life. He said in verse 1, "For everything there is a season that's one thing that is familiar with this verse. But many people don't realize that this verse is talking about the providence of God. If you take note of the word under heaven, you know, before that, you have been seeing the word under the sun. If you go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Solomon has been talking about under the sun, or meaning under this world where God is not even given a bit of time or importance in their life. But in this particular verse or chapter, Solomon is talking about life under heaven, or life under God, life under the rulership and headship of God. And so, what Solomon is saying is, if you want the answer to the meaning of life, if you want to understand what it means to have life and life forevermore, you must ask God, because He knows about life. Because if there's anyone who is in charge of everything that happens in this life, it is God. Because He is in charge of the seasons and the times of this life. And in verse 1 again, let me read that once again. He said, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." What does this mean? Well, it means that the times and seasons of human life are set by someone or something outside of ourselves. What it is saying is that God is the master of times and seasons, because it is God who created times and seasons. You know, God did not create times and seasons for Himself. He created times and seasons for us. Amen? And the next 7 verses is a very familiar point. In fact, I remember Ben read this in your dad's service. So this is a very familiar verse. Most people know about these verses. And this point proves the fact that God is in charge of the times and seasons of our life. And let me read that once again. He said, "There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to gather stones, and a time to cast away stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sue, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." So what is the scripture saying? What is the message of this particular verse, or verses that we read? What does it mean for us today? You know, when you look at the commentaries, you know, scholars differ on the fine print, but there's one idea, big idea for everyone. The meaning of this text is this. It is saying that facts are facts, and life is what it is. Things happen with or without your permission. Can you say amen? The world does not depend on your wishes. Amen? What he's saying is, life will happen even if you are facts, and life is what it is. You know, sometimes we don't have anything to do with life. There's a time to be born. For example, have you seen a woman, or shall I say, no women have ever conceived by herself, or no man has ever begot himself? We did not act in our conceptions and birth, we are acted upon. The most significant thing about our lives is we were begun by powers outside of ourselves. We have been born because someone permitted us to be born into this world. Amen? We did not, you know, we did not come out of this world because we wanted to be in this world. God have allowed us to be born into this world. And in other things, of course, we do act. We laugh, we dance, we sew, we plan, and so on and so forth. But those acts are occasioned by the things outside of our control. Let me give you an example. When do we plant? What is the season for planting?
Spring.
Okay? If you plant your tomatoes on Christmas Day, what will happen? It will die. You will have no yield. It will die. And why do you sew, or why do you repair your bottom when it pop up? Or why do you laugh or dance? Or you laugh and dance because of something funny or something joyful happened to you, not because of your own meaning. What I'm saying is, things that happen in this life are occasioned by the things outside of our control. Of course, many things happen in our life that is not within our will, meaning we are against. The Bible says there is a time to die, a time to mourn, a time to weep, a time to lose. We don't want those things to happen in our lives, but they do happen. We don't plan or schedule them, but they happen whether we like it or not. Then say amen.
Amen.
So what do you notice here? What is Solomon saying? He's saying that everything that happens in this world is ultimately under the control of a creator, of God himself. And this is something that is common knowledge to all men, women, and boys and girls in the world, that all men will die one day, that they leave because they were born, or God allows them to be born in this world. Only the so-called wise will miss this truth, because they are so in love with their theories that if it doesn't fit them, they don't believe them, or they don't accept them. You know, I heard of a Christian scientist years ago who said, you know, sickness and death are not real. You know what happened? After a few years, he got sick and died. You know, we can laugh all we want, we can cry all we want, but reality will always have the last laugh. What I'm saying is, We are not the master of our faith. We are not the captain of our soul. How many of you are familiar with that poem? By William Ernest Henley. He said once in his poem, very famous poem, said, "I am the master of my faith. I am the captain of my soul." That is not true. Because there's someone who controls the seasons and times of our life. He determines the length of your life. He determines whether you leave or not, whether you do this or you do that, whether that happens to you or not. There's one who is in control of everything that happens in our lives. You know what God is? God is the King of time. He's the one who determines your times, your days, your seasons, everything that happens in your life. There's God who controls everything in this world. Can you say amen? That's why Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanities." You know why he said that? He said that because he knows that life is like a vapor. Now you see, now you don't. You cannot understand it. You cannot predict it. You cannot control it. You cannot hold onto it. But there's one who can hold onto it. There's one who controls it. It is God who controls everything that happens in this world. That's why in verse 9, he asks this question. What profit has the worker from all in which he labors? What is the answer? Of course, the implied answer is, there is no profit. He was actually saying that you can do everything in your life, in your power, to change reality, but it will not change. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In other words, you can do all the things that you, in your power and strength, to do or to change reality, but in the end, it will stay the same. You know, you can eat, exercise, eat the right kind of food, take your vitamins, go to the doctor. But the Bible says there is a time to die. Even if you eat the right things, or even if you don't forget sunscreen, or do the right stuff, the Bible says there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. You know, Solomon is not saying, let's just get rid of all those medicines. Let's just, you know, get rid of all those stuff. He's not saying that. He's not urging us to live recklessly. He said, simply telling us that whatever we do or don't do, we are not in control of our life. Can you say amen? Whatever you do, whether you like it or not, we are not in control of our life. God is in control of our lives. In verse 10, he says, "I have seen the God-given task which the sons of man are to be occupied." Solomon understood this. So there is someone in control of everything that happens in our lives. What is the proof? What is the proof of this divine providence? Or what is the proof that we are not in control? God is. In verse 10, he says, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in his sight. Also, he put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So what are the proofs of God's promise? The first proof God's providence is that God has made everything beautiful in His time. Actually, the word beautiful is to be translated appropriate. That's not the proper translation for the word beautiful. What He meant by that is that God put everything where it is. And He put everything where it belongs. Now, sometimes we may not believe that. But the Bible says, all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are called according to His purpose. What it means is that God has chosen the right time for everything, and everything is going to happen according to His schedule, not yours or mine. Everything that happens in your life will happen according to God's schedule, not yours, not mine, or not anyone's schedule. And sometimes, when we think about it, it's easier said than done. But the only way to live consistently with reality is to wait on the Lord and trust Him. There's another proof of God's providence. And the second proof is He has put eternity in our hearts. There is something inside of you that knows that there is someone there that you are accountable to, and that you, as a human being made in the likeness and image of God, have a perspective on the past and the future that animals don't have. That's your main difference with animals. How many of you have seen a dog regretting what he did yesterday? Or how many of you have seen a cat anxious or worried about what he will eat tomorrow? Have you seen an animal like that? A cat or a dog that will worry about what they will eat tomorrow or what happens, worried about what happened yesterday? No. Because God has put eternity in the hearts of men, we have a perspective on what will happen in the future and what happened in the past. But still, we can figure things out in this life. Even though God has put eternity in our hearts, we cannot still figure things out. So we should be content with what we are. Human beings who cannot understand yesterday or today, tomorrow. What we can do is just trust God who does and can. The third proof is we do not know what the future holds. And so enjoy life while you can. How many of you know what will happen tomorrow? Or next year? Or next 5 years? How many of you can predict the future like, you know, those fortune tellers? Only God knows the future because He is the God of the past, God of the present, and He is the God of the future. Only God knows what will happen tomorrow. Only God knows, because He is the one who controls the future. He's the God of history. And so Solomon is saying in verse 12, in verse 13, there's nothing better for you than to rejoice and to do good in your life, in that every man should eat and drink and enjoy all the good of his labor. It is a gift of God. Now, there are many people who have been given by God many blessings. Amen? Because enjoying your blessings is a gift from God. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the wealth in the world, just like many people today, billionaires. But they are not happy. They are not fulfilled. They are not satisfied. Why? Because they don't have God. They have made their wealth, their money, their pleasure, their God. And so Solomon is saying, there's someone who holds the future, and he wants you to enjoy life while you can, because God has given you that gift. Only God can give you that gift. You cannot give that to yourself. You may try to be independent of God and enjoy all the pleasure, all the work, all the wisdom in the world, but you cannot enjoy those things because God is not in your life. What Solomon is saying is, time that God has given us is a gift from God. So enjoy it while you can. You know, today is the gift of God, and He didn't want you to give, or He didn't want you to have that life so that you can fill it up with worry and disappointment. He gave you time and blessing so that you can enjoy it today. You know, many people say, well, I will enjoy my life when I retire. How many of you say that? When I am no longer working, I will enjoy my life. Or many people say, you know, I will enjoy my life when I won, when I win the lottery. Many people say that. What Solomon is saying is, today is Sunday. What comes along is just what the Lord wants you to have. Don't wait for life. Live it. Don't choke down a hamburger wishing you had a steak. Enjoy the hamburger. What Solomon is saying is, enjoy your life now. Don't wish for something else that you don't have today, because you may not have it. Don't wait for your life. Live it. You know, every single day that God blesses you with is a gift from God. And what we do with this gift of time is our gift back to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so, Solomon is saying there's nothing better but that to rejoice and to do good and enjoy all the good that the Lord has given you. And then there's a fourth proof in verse 16 and in verse 17. He said, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. Moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment. Wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is time for every purpose and for every word. In the end, God will decide what happens to us. The Bible says, if you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Whoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. And whoever does not believe in Him will have everlasting punishment. So what is your choice? It's up to you. God has given us a free will, choice to make in our life. But one day God will decide whether you receive the everlasting life or whether you receive an everlasting punishment. Now, what is the purpose of God? God's divine promises. What is the purpose why God controls everything that happens in this world, in our lives? Or why is God in charge of everything? Of death and life and laughing and weeping and war and peace, because nothing happens under the sun without His consent. Why? Why is God in charge? What is the purpose of God's providence? You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, He did not need anyone of you. He did not need me. He did not need you. He did not need anyone in the world. He commanded the world. He commanded everything to happen and happen the way He commanded it. In other words, He did not collaborate. He commanded it. He exercised absolute sovereignty at the time, and He has not given up. He is still the Lord of heavens and the earth. He's the Lord of angels and every spiritual being in the world. He controls trees and persons and empires, time and death, earth and heaven, and everything else. And why is God in control? But Paul said, all things hold together because of Him who created everything. You know, when God created the earth, it came into existence by His word. And by the same word, it remains in existence. Everything in this world holds together because of His word. The reason why we are still here on earth is because of His word. Without His word, there will be no pieces. Things will not only go to pieces without Him. Without Him, there is no pieces. And the reason why God controls everything, according to verse 14, is because God wants us to fear Him. What does it mean to fear Him? To fear Him means to stand in awe of Him. The reason why God is in control of everything that happens in this world is that we should stand in awe of Him. The Lord displays His sovereignty that we will fall down before Him, worship Him, believe His word, and become His thankful and eager servants. The challenge I have for you today is, do you believe that God is being in charge of everything? Sometimes we say yes, we believe that God is in charge of everything. But when things don't happen the way we think it should happen, do we still submit to His will? But we will never probably admit it, but deep down inside our heart, we think we have a better job of ruling the world. We always think about that even though we do not say that we want to rule the world. So the question is, do we believe that God is in charge of everything that happens? Because if we believe God is in charge, then that means we can trust Him. We can trust Him with everything in our life, in our future. Bible says, because it is. Because He controls everything that happens in this world, I shall face the morning. Because He leaves, whatever happens, whether the future is bright or not, I believe that He is in charge. And that is what Solomon is saying here to all of us. There will be a time to be born, a time to plan, a time to heal, a time to heal, a time to do all those things. But without God, without you giving your time to God, this world will one day be gone. So my friends, my brothers and sisters, let's think about there's a time for everything. There's a time for you to worship God and give your life to Him. Let us pray. Lord, thank you once again for reminding us that we are not in control of our lives. You are. That we need to fear you and obey your commandments. That we need to trust you with our lives, with our future, with everything we have. Even though we are not sure what will happen tomorrow. But you are God, and you hold the future. And so we stand in awe of you, because you are God, who is in control of everything that happens in this world. We thank you and we glorify you.